Dear Heavenly Father, you say to us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that our Saviour is Jesus, the founder and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Lord, we pray that we may see more of that determination of Jesus today, that seriousness with which he undertakes his mission. We pray that this may give us courage and confidence to know that Jesus will finish the good work that he has begun in us. And we pray that we may have that same commitment to Jesus' mission as well. And Lord, we ask this in his name. Amen. There are many projects in our house that aren't finished, and they aren't anywhere near being finished. I've been telling my family and some of you as well that I would make a new gate for my backyard at home. I haven't started that yet. A lot of books in my house have bookmarks in the middle, including one that has stayed in that position for like the last 6 years. And I have a little file as well on my phone of all the things that I would eventually like to do in life, dreams and goals kind of stuff, things that I'd eventually like to write maybe. Most of that hasn't gotten off the ground. And I'm sure that most of us are like that. We all have works that are in progress, tasks that people try and get us to do, and our answer is something like, I'll get around to it. It's on my to-do list. Or we walk around the house and we see something and we're like, I really should get around to that. You know, we all, I think, have works that we don't follow through on. To a certain extent, this is normal. Our ambitions often exceed our abilities. There is that line from Hamlet, man's reach must exceed his grasp, or what's a heaven for? If we could do everything we wanted, we would be gods. But we are not gods. We are not powerful or free like God is. And so this side of heaven, there is that frustration of unfinished business that we all experience. But we're going to see from our passage today that this is not something Jesus experiences. Jesus has a mission, and he will not quit from that mission. Nothing will deter him from it. And this gives us confidence as we follow Jesus that he will finish his work in us and also in the world. We're in Luke chapter 13. Jesus is on his journey to Jerusalem, the capital of ancient Israel, the place where he is going to die for our sins. Along the way, he has been teaching, healing, and casting out demons in the power of the Spirit of God. And these kinds of works attract attention from people, both the good kind of attention and the bad kind. This passage is especially concerned with the bad kind of attention. One of the bad attentions that Jesus got was from King Herod. Just to be clear, this King Herod was not the same Herod as the one who killed the children when Jesus was born. That was a different Herod. But he has the same idea. He sees Jesus as a threat to his power. If Jesus is the king, then Herod knows that he can't be the king, and so he seeks to kill Jesus. The Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, they get the news and they pass it on to Jesus, possibly because they're genuinely concerned for his safety, but probably also because it would serve their purpose if Jesus was either killed or if he just ran away, if he quietly just kind of left. But Jesus has a very different idea when he hears the news, and we see that in the two key messages of our passage today. Jesus has a word for the fox and a word for the chickens. And so firstly, a word for the fox, and that is what we see in verses 31 to 33. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem.'" Our family were on a holiday at a farm stay a few years ago. We got to talk to the farmer who managed the property, and we heard that some of his chickens had been killed. A fox had dug and crawled under the electric fence. He'd gotten to the chickens, killed them, and then gotten out. The farmer's plan for that night was to stay up late at night with his rifle and night vision to see if he could catch the fox coming back again. It turns out that he didn't get the fox, but that kind of imagery is what Jesus is talking about in this passage. Jesus calls Herod a fox. Herod is a predator. He wants to take God's people and use them for his own ends. Later on in the passage, we are going to see that Jesus is the mother hen, the one who wants to embrace and protect his people. And so the big question of the passage is, who is the one who is going to get the chickens? Herod thinks he will. And he will get them by killing Jesus. He will remove the competition, or at least scaring Jesus away. But Jesus is saying to Herod that nothing is going to stop him in his mission, not fear and not even death. And that's what he says to Herod. He says, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow. I wonder whether this is a bit of a dig at Herod. You know, Herod, you are out there trying to kill me. I'm out there liberating and healing people. So why are you trying to kill me again? And then he says, on the third day, I finish my course. You may remember when Jesus died on the cross, he said the words, it is finished. On the cross, Jesus completes his mission of bringing peace between people and God. His mission of dying in our place, taking the punishment for our sins. That is what is finished on the cross. And that's the same word for finish here in Luke 13. Jesus says that this will happen on the third day. That's probably a metaphorical third day, because it's going to take Jesus more than 3 days to reach Jerusalem from here. Even once he's in Jerusalem, it'll take more than 3 days until he's crucified. And so it's probably a figurative thing. But the big message that Jesus has for Herod is, I'm not afraid of you. And that's why he says, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. Right, that third day that Jesus is talking about, he is going to go all the way with that. He knows that his mission is to die. He knows that Jerusalem is the appropriate place for him to die. And when your mission is to die, how can anyone threaten you? Jesus will not be discouraged or dissuaded from his mission. He always finishes what he starts. There is no unfinished business in the house of Jesus. And that means that we can have confidence as we follow Jesus. Because if nothing stopped Jesus from dying for our sins, if he finished that, then nothing also will stop Jesus from bringing in the new heavens and the new earth. Nothing will stop Jesus from preparing a place for us and bringing his people back to the house of God. Nothing will stop Jesus from making his people mature, taking on the full measure of the fullness of Christ. Nothing will stop Jesus making us like Jesus. He will finish that as well. In our world today, there are many groups that oppose the mission of Jesus. There are many foxes that seek to use people rather than care for them. Governments that suppress and persecute Christians. Political movements that aim to silence or cancel Christian voices. Even other religious groups that would see their beliefs and practices become dominant in our society. We have our share of Herods, even today. But if Herod couldn't stop Jesus back then, if even killing Jesus couldn't stop Jesus back then, how much more can we trust Jesus to fulfill his mission now that he is raised from the dead, now that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him? In Philippians chapter 1, it says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. We can be sure of this. Jesus will finish his mission. That is his word to the fox. But Jesus also has a word for the chickens, a word to the people of Israel. And it's a bit of a sad word, but it's also a loving word. And that is what we see in verses 34 to 35. And so Jesus switches his audience in verse 34. And now he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken. And I tell you, you will not see me until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We might have hoped that that love of Jesus, the love of that mother hen, would be well received by his people. That once the fox is out of the way, the chickens would be able to go free range and enjoy themselves. But that is not the case. It seems here that it's a case of as go the king, so go the people. They oppose Jesus too. And this happens today as well. You know, we might blame and complain about our political leaders a lot, but the truth is that our leaders and the system that creates them is kind of something that we've chosen for ourselves. You know, to a certain extent, we get the leaders we deserve. There is a t-shirt that I briefly considered getting. It has the slogan on it, "I never question my wife's choices. After all, I am one of them." You know, we could say the same about our political leaders too. To a certain extent, we choose the leaders that we get. And that's what Jesus is saying about Jerusalem. As go the king, so go the people. They're all like little Herods. You see, it's not just Herod who wants to kill Jesus, but also the people of Jerusalem, just like they killed and persecuted the prophets that God sent before Jesus. Jesus wants to enfold and protect and love his people. He has the power to protect and fight for and save his people. The barrier is not a lack of power or wisdom or willingness on Jesus' part. The barrier is the lack of willingness on the people's part. You see that end of verse 34, it says, "You were not willing." And as a result of that, because they have spurned the love of Jesus, verse 35, Jesus says, "Your house is forsaken." Jesus is talking about the Jews as a race, as a people or a nation here. They are no longer going to be the chosen people of God. They will no longer carry God's promises or his word or his covenants. That privilege is now going to belong to the church, starting with the apostles, the people who believe in Jesus and follow him. But I want you to notice as well that even as Jesus pronounces judgment and punishment on his people, he tells them they're forsaken, even after he says they're going to kill Jesus, there's still a note of hope for them. See, Jesus is not fully done with them. He says, "You will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Now, there are a few different opinions on what Jesus means by this. These are the words that are said by Israel when Jesus enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday with the palm branches in front of him. And so some people think he's talking about that's when they see him again. That's a bit tricky, though, because the Jews do see him before that. He's got a few days before he enters Jerusalem, and he's not exactly hiding. He's very public. And so I wonder whether Jesus here is talking more about that personal faith, more about that recognition of who Jesus really is. The Jews are forsaken as God's people. They can't see Jesus because they don't believe in him. But they can come back in. They can see Jesus properly if they acknowledge and confess that Jesus is the Messiah of God. If they say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," in their own hearts. You see, Jesus is giving them a way back, and the way back is the way of faith in Jesus, the same way that anyone becomes part of the people of God. And I think the lesson here is that we are never too far gone for Jesus. We might have done terrible things to God and Jesus. We might have said terrible things, either out loud or in the privacy of our own thoughts and hearts. We might have done horrible things that we think God will never forgive. But God is our loving Father. And his Son, Jesus, wants to gather God's children together like a hen gathers her brood under her wings. We can always come back if we call Jesus God's King and Lord. The blood of Jesus can cover over any sin. That is Jesus' word to the chickens. And so knowing all those things, what are some of the lessons that we can take away today? Well, I think a few things. Firstly, we can have confidence in Jesus. The Herods of this world will try and convince us that we are on the losing team. Jesus isn't coming back. The Christian hope is a false hope. Christians are on the wrong side of history. They will try and get us to swap sides, join with them, give up on Jesus. But if threats of death And even death itself could not stop Jesus from completing his mission. If Jesus says that he will finish his course, and he did finish his course, we can be confident that if Jesus says he'll return, he'll return. I find it a bit comforting that we're struggling with this issue of the delay in Jesus' return, right? It's been about 2,000 years since Jesus ascended into heaven. But the early Christian writers also struggled with that exact same issue just 30 or so years after Jesus ascended into heaven. And Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 9, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." God is holding back the time of Jesus' return in order for more people to come to know him, in order for more people to say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And that has completely happened, hasn't it? You know, at the resurrection of Jesus, you probably had disciples maybe in the triple digits. By about AD 150, people estimate that there were 40,000 Christians. Today, people estimate 2.4 billion Christians. God has a plan, and it's working. We can be confident that Jesus will finish it. But most of us are probably pretty confident already, I think, in this church. And we're not about to jump ship anytime soon. I mean, most of us probably won't just get up and become Muslims overnight, kind of switching teams like people trade basketball players or NRL players. But I wonder whether the danger for this particular church, for us, when it comes to being on Team Jesus, is trying to have it both ways. To try and love God and the world at the same time. To try and serve both God and money. You know, not so much jumping ship from Jesus, but maybe letting go of the anchor. In the language of Hebrews, drifting away from the faith. Perhaps for us there's this cynicism as we get older about matters of the spirit. We think to ourselves, "Oh yes, that Jesus stuff is really important, but I've got to look out for myself as well." But the Bible doesn't say that we've got to seek both God's kingdom and worldly things. It says, seek first the kingdom of God, and that's how you get a good amount of worldly things. I have jumped ship on a lot of things that I used to follow as a younger person. A lot of the movies and games that I used to be passionate about, I don't feel the same way about them anymore. It seems to me that they've become too corporatized, too bland. It's no longer worth my investment in it. But I found that with Jesus, he's always given back. My time with him and his people is never wasted. He continues to keep his promise to grow me and transform me to be more like him, using all the spheres of my life to do so. He who began a good work in us will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. We can have confidence in Jesus, trusting he will finish his work. Second thing is that we can have compassion on the lost. Jesus had compassion on the lost sheep of Israel, or from this passage, the lost chickens of Israel. Even when they spurned him, rejected him, threatened him and killed him, he still wanted to enfold them and protect them. He still gave them a way back. And we should want the same. When we think of the people around us, we want them to know that God loves them and wants a relationship with them. We want them to know that Jesus died to secure this relationship. And if they reject this invitation, we want them to know that they can always come back if they receive and confess Jesus as Messiah and Lord. Whether they open the conversation or we open the conversation, we want to get this across. And that is why we pray for opportunities to witness to Jesus. It's why we invite people to church, to Easter and Christmas, to trivia and dinners and to gospel courses. It's why we keep the conversation up. We always leave it open so that people know that there's always a way back. Even when the world treats us like enemies or competitors or villains, that is not how we see them back. That's not how Jesus saw them. We see them as people who are lost, and we have compassion on them, like Jesus did. Jesus always finishes what he starts. He is not dissuaded or discouraged by opposition, threats, fear, or even death. He is not distracted by worldly things. And we can thank God that he finished his mission to die for our sins and bring us back to God. We know this is what Jesus is like. And so we can have confidence that Jesus will finish the rest of it, that he will return, that he'll bring us into God's house, that he'll make us like him. However long it takes, we can have confidence in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus' determination to finish his mission. Thank you that he was that unstoppable Saviour and that he was not swayed by fear, threats, or death. And in fact, you used that death to bring salvation to so many people. And Lord, we can see that in the history of the world, how many people have come to faith in Jesus, trusting that his blood has covered over their sins. Heavenly Father, we pray that we may have confidence that just as Jesus finished that work of reconciling us and you, that he may finish the work of returning and making the new heavens and the new earth. Please help us to continue to hold on to Jesus, staying loyal to him, not jumping ship from him, and also not being distracted by the other things that might tempt us away from Jesus. And Lord, we also pray that we may have that same heart of Jesus, that compassion on the lost. Please help us to, when we see the people around us, to see people that Jesus wants to enfold and protect and love. And we pray that we may pass on that invitation to them and that they may know that they can always come back as long as they say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.